of the things I love about this time of year is the bird song, which is almost continuous. Let's Talk nature writer Barry Madden has been appreciating the sound of the birds in the Bishop's Garden, no less. He's been asked to help with a special project helping Norfolk Wildlife Trust survey the Bishop's House Garden in the centre of Norwich. Here's Sam to explain about this exciting project.
Never underestimate the importance of gardens for wildlife. Gardens have a vital role to play in providing food, shelter and space for a whole host of wildlife. And no matter what size your garden, you will be amazed at the number of different animals and plants that call it home. As part of its 95th anniversary year, Norfolk Wildlife Trust will be surveying the Bishop's House Garden in Norwich to take a detailed look at wildlife found in this urban sanctuary. The results of this survey will be made available to everyone via the NWT website, one important aspect of which will be to suggest ways that everyone can improve their garden, local green space, even a small patio or window box for wildlife. I have been privileged enough to be asked to help with this project together with another volunteer, and we plan to visit the garden each month to record the birds, the mammals, amphibians, reptiles and some of the invertebrates, in particular the bees and the butterflies, using the garden. To set the ball rolling, a fresh, bright mid-March day finds us absorbing the delights of this delightfully quiet area nestled in the heart of Norwich. With the impressive spire of Norwich Cathedral and its pair of nesting peregrines gazing down upon us, we can commence our early season breeding bird survey. The garden is effectively a series of compartments flowing seamlessly one to the other. A shady bamboo grove gives way to a sheltered area under dominion of a seriously impressive London plain. And this, in turn, leads to an expanse of open lawn that, as we survey, is being scarified by Sam Garland, head gardener and his assistant. He assures us no chemicals are used in the maintenance tasks, which, although meaning a higher degree of physical labour, underscores the ethos of wildlife-friendly management. And there are hidden benefits to this policy, which may well reveal themselves later in the year. Bee orchids grow on the sloped edges of this open sward, the ripe fruit of the eco-friendly management policy adopted throughout the garden. Bordering the lawn is an area of woodland, a buffer zone between the sanctity of the garden and the world beyond. It is a jewel, an anomalous oasis of tranquility surrounded by a 21st century desert. The woodland edge bleeds into more formal borders of roses and herbs, although even here there are banks of weathered stone and high walls beyond. There is a regimented box garden with a centralised pond, but there is a feeling of deliberate hands-off. Yes, it must be pruned and mowed, but not too much. And then we come to the wildlife meadow, dotted with aged, weather-beaten pear trees. A circular, contemplative path is mown here, popular with children and families on summer open days. This serves to take people on an intimate tour with the inhabitants of this micro-world. And beyond this area are formal flower beds, offering wells of nectar for many insect species, as well as being a visual delight. The totality provides a plenty of differing habitats for nesting birds. Sam has left out bunches of moss, dried grass, small twigs and even old wool for birds to use as nest material. These have simply been left near bird feeders or hanging around the garden in places where birds are known to nest. He has also been putting up nesting boxes to encourage smaller birds to nest in the safe refuge of the garden. And time to begin our formal survey, which involves a slow, circular walk plotting each and every bird encountered. Almost the first bird on show is a circling female sparrowhawk that sends the local feral pigeons into a frenzy and mutes the resident smaller birds. The hawk is a regular visitor to this patch, as can be gleaned from bundles of feathers that we find dotted around in quieter spots. It is unlikely to breed in the garden itself, though, and soon drifts away to hunt pastures new. Robins resume their singing, and we pinpoint at least four discrete territories. Blue and great tits are also well represented, not yet nest building, but prospecting and certainly paired up. And we see a minimum three pairs of each. Wrens belt out their trilling cascade from locations at opposite ends of the garden, and it seems three pairs of blackbirds are building their nests in the dense hedges. A pair of goldfinches tinkle over the meadow area, where a pair of dunnocks chase one another through the shrubbery. A jay scolds us harshly from deep cover, as do a pair of magpies flying around in the belt of more mature trees. And wood pigeons are difficult to survey, as they seem to be all over the place, lending themselves to double counting. A conservative estimate is three pairs. A greenfinch, with its nasal call, completes the list. Our first survey indicates there to be a minimum 25 pairs of likely breeders of a dozen species, a very satisfying result. We will return later in the spring to undertake the survey again, pick up any birds we missed on the first run, confirm actual nesting activities for others, and hopefully pick up any summer migrants, such as black caps, that decide to set up home. It is planned to hold a public event later in the year, where the results of the survey will be displayed. For now, there is much enjoyable work to be done searching for the wild creatures that call this place home, and I have a feeling many pleasant surprises await us.
Thank you, Sam. And I'm very envious of Barry. It sounds like a very rewarding enterprise to be involved with.